That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your very inner man. So that, in order that, you're strengthened with power, this is what the Holy Spirit does, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, Christ can be in your heart, and if you're a believer, he's there, right? But it doesn't mean that he's dwelling in your heart. Because that word dwell means that he finds a home where he's resting, where he's ruling, all right? And that's the only way Jesus works within us, if he's absolute ruler, right? There is no sharing, there's no, we're partnering in this thing. He's Lord, right? And that word dwelling means the Holy Spirit is there to activate, to make that real, but he only dwells in us, dwelling, if he's from a resting, ruling position. Okay? But that's not what we're going to talk about. But that's true, though, right? None of the rest of this stuff's going to work if we don't believe that. All right? So he didn't need my help, my stress this morning either. So he may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and being grounded in love, can comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and that you could know experientially for yourself this love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, which you can't understand, right? You can't understand the love of God, but you can experience it. That's what he's saying. You try to understand it, it's way above us, right? So we say experience it. That you may be filled up all the way to the fullness of God. This word I want to talk about is just here, starting here. That word, being rooted and being grounded, this comes from, in the Greek, it comes from a perfect tense, meaning that something that's already happened, something that happens, has happened, and it has a continual, everyday activity, right? That if you're in Christ, you've already been rooted and grounded in the love of God, okay? You can't get more rooted and you can't get more grounded than you already are in the love of Christ, right? So you learn to experience through the Holy Spirit what you've already been rooted and grounded in. You can't get more of it, in other words. You've already been rooted and grounded, and now he wants to experience how wide and deep, which there is none. There is no depth. There is no width. It's just, you know, the universe contains it. So, can't contain it. So, something's already happened to you, and this will make sense in a minute, that you've already, okay, you don't have to ask for it or pray for it. You've already been rooted and grounded in love, right? And the Holy Spirit is at work to make that real. And it works when we surrender simply to the Lordship of Christ, okay? All right. Romans chapter 5. Again, familiar verses. This is all good stuff here. I love how it starts. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been justified. We've been grounded in the grace in which we stand. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given us. Okay? Again, something that's already happened. The love of God has been, if you're a believer, poured out within your hearts through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I was thinking about this, and I even said this Friday, how much love did God pour out on you at that time? And the answer is, all of it. All of the love of God was poured into you, right? And just like pour a little bit. Okay, you know, I'm this full, Joseph is this full, you know, Rhonda's... No, he poured it out. The love of God has been, past tense, poured out within your heart by the Holy Spirit. Okay? You got it all. Absolute full. I mean, that word, the word in the Greek, in the fullest measure, same word in our language, is full, right? In Southern, slap full. You are slap full of the love of God by the Holy Spirit. It has been poured out into you. Okay? So again, you can't ask for more love because you have it contained in these bodies, right? How God does that. It's amazing. I was thinking about that today. How are we seated in the heavenlies with Christ, the right hand of God, and we're here, yet he's here and lives within us at the same time. And we're there, yet he's there, but yet he's here. Can't figure that one out, can you? That's amazing. No man can, that's right. All right, John 17. And I'm not even sure if I have this scripture in order, but it doesn't matter. Again, this is the Upper Room Discourse, some of the very last things that Jesus prayed right before they left, and he was taken into custody. This was a prayer he prayed, chapter 17. And just a couple of things there. Verse 22 of 17. The glory with which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in this unity, the unity of the Trinity. So that the world may know that you sent me, and the world may know that you loved them, even as you have loved me. Jumping down to 25. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will continually make it known to them, so that the love with which you loved me will be in them, and I in them. Okay, again, they heard Jesus praying this, right? On that day, day of Pentecost, what happened when the Holy Spirit came and filled us with the love of God, that's the same kind of love that you had for me and I have for you will now dwell in them. Okay? So the love of the Father, the way that God loves, the Father loves Jesus, dwells in you. Okay? Again, you can't be any more loved, right? Because that lives within you, all of you. Okay? John 15. Let's slow down here. All right. Let's see. We'll do these and then we'll go over to the book of 1 John. This is my commandment, verse 12 of 15, that you love one another the same way I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And you're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father I've made known to you. And you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And this I command you, that you love one another. If you go back and read, and for time's sake, in John 15, he was talking about if you abide in me, John 14, if you have my commandments and keep them, you love me, right? You're abiding in me. If you abide in me, you will obey my words. And so this is the part of the fruit of what it looks like to abide, right? Probably you could say the biggest fruit would be to love one another, right? All right. How it's manifested in us. So if we're abiding in him, that's just going to happen. All right, let's turn to the book of 1 John. We'll spend a little more time there. Actually, I'm going to go kind of backwards. I'm going to go from the end of the book towards the front. So we're going to start in 4. All right. Verse 7, familiar verses. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's who he is. By this love was manifested or made real within us, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And again, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And it says where everyone who loves, actually what the Greek says there is everyone loving from God, right? Loving out of, like we're talking about that water flowing from the altar. Everyone loving from God knows him. Okay? Now, let's turn over to chapter 2. We'll go there, then we'll come back. The biggest emphasis in this book, if you've read through the book of 1 John, again, what he was confronting is Gnosticism, which is kind of, well, we have that here today too. It's just called something different. It's called New Age, right? He was kind of confronting a lot of this stuff. And here's how he would just write this, you know, this is God. He's light. There's no darkness in him. You know, this is who he is. If you say that you know him, then this is going to be evident in your life that you know him. Okay. All right. Chapter 2, starting in verse 3. By this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. All right. The one who says, I have come to know him, does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. Okay? By this we know that we are in him. The one who says that he abides in him, or abides, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. If you abide in him, you're going to look like him. Right? That's what he's saying. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is shining. The one who says that he is in the light, or that he's walking in truth, right, and yet hates his brother, is in darkness till now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him at all. Right? But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, does not know where he is going, and the darkness has totally blinded him. Okay? Pretty powerful words there, right? That we are sons and daughters of the light, right? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Light being truth. There he used light and darkness as truth and deception. Okay? That if we want to walk in the light, and we say that we walk in the light, and it's evident in the light, then here's what's going to happen. You'll be loving each other, your brothers in Christ, right? Which includes your mate. Okay? By the way. Okay? Your brother is every believer. No matter whether they're brother, sister, husband, wife, cousin, don't know, you know. And see, where we got, the reason I started, how I started the first, because I want you to know, you can. Because all the love of God has been poured out within you. And it's Christ, right? And you have all of it. And you walk in light, and you walk in the truth, then you're loving. And then you're walking in darkness if you don't, if you say that you hate your brother. But one thing that we kind of get away with a little bit, or think we do, is because the word hate is such a strong word to us, right? We can say, well, I don't really hate him, you know. I don't really like him, but I don't hate him, you know what I mean? Until we look at what that word means, hate. If you go look it up, you know. It really means to shun and reject. Doesn't mean to have bitter anger, hate feelings for. It means just to reject your brother. Shun him. You know, I won't have anything to do with you. Kind of thing like that. Right? That's what it means. There's more. He doesn't let this go. Right? Chapter 3. I love it. We're not going to do the first verse, but you can read it. But see how great a love the Father has poured into us. That's what that means. Right? That we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it doesn't know him. Okay. But we're going to jump down to 14, verse 14. All right. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. That's how you know. Pass out of death, lost, right, in sin and life. This is how you know whether you've made the transition. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Ooh, what does that mean? It means your experience is death, right? Your experience is dry, deserty, yuck, death. Just like that, right? That's what it looks. That's your experience. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. What? did he just call us a murderer if we hate our brother? Yeah. I've been guilty of that, haven't y'all? Y'all ever done that? Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's not confession time, but we all have, right? And have thought, even the people that are closest to you, ever had thought, gosh, I hate them, you know, or get mad, you know. Just because we say it in anger doesn't mean we really believe it, right? That's not what I'm saying. But that's a word. I mean, gosh, I don't want to be like blood on my hands and I'm a murderer. And that's what God equates it with. If you hate your brother, the disciple John probably knew more about the love of God than most of them, right? So he's a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren in the same way. That's what it looks like, okay? All right, now we're going to jump over to 4 again, right? Remember, verse 7, so good, the one loving out of. All right, we'll pick up in verse 10. In this is love, not that he loved us, not that we loved God. Let me read this again. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love begins to be perfected in us. That word perfected means it begins to mature in us. So is he saying, if we love each other, we know that God abides in us. We're getting that point down. But what happens, it says, is that love begins to grow and to mature. Mature, mature. My kids correct me all the time if I don't say that right. Begins to grow in us, right? Meaning that the more I give it away and let the Lord just do that, then the more I get. More revelation I get of it for me. Right? Doesn't it say that? That's how you grow and mature in the love of God. As we love, we grow in it. It begins to just grow within us, you know, like leaven put in there. It just begins to grow and grow. Okay? As I do that. It's good to know that you have a revelation of how much God loves you. I mean, that's a good thing, and he will do that, because if we're going to know the height, the width, the breadth, and length, that's a good thing, okay? But that'll only go so far if you're not loving, right? Because it can't mature in you. It can't grow because you're not giving it away. And, we talked about this also Friday. You know, just about all of Scripture, when it talks about loving, I would say in the 90-ish percentage is about loving each other, the body of Christ, right? Speaks very little about loving the world, or the people in it. Matter of fact, it says, the world will know that you're mine. They'll know that I'm real if you love one another. That's how they know he's real, and our love for each other. So no wonder the enemy spends most of his time causing division in the body of Christ. Right? It doesn't say, I mean, if we go out there, of course, we can go out there and share the gospel and people get saved and all that kind of stuff. But if you want to win the world to him, then they're going to be one. But when they look at us and say, golly, those guys, there's just no barriers there. They just love each other. There's no, you know, social, racial, denomination, nothing. They're just loving each other because that's who God is, right? And if he's God through me, then I'm, you know. So it's important that we get this down in us, okay? Because we may have people in our lives, in our home, significant other, that we have the hardest time loving, right? It's easy to love you, you know, y'all. Easy to love me because you don't live with me, right? I can love y'all because I don't live with you. But when you live with someone, you see the faults, you see the brokenness, you see the all that, right? Right? And this word is to them, to loving them too, right? They're not just, you know, go out of here and go, you know, go to church and just love on everybody and hug them, right? I done gone to meddling now, haven't I? I'm speaking to myself, you know, because I want to, you know, just the Lord showing me personally, you know, anything he's showing me, right? Showing me where I need to, you know, where I'm just failing in this area. And boy, will he show you too. Man, you know, you think you're just stumbling a little bit, right? And then, good gosh. But I want it to grow. You want it to be perfected in you, right? Start with the ones around you. And to really get perfected, right? Love them the way God loves them, right? When everything in love, you know, forgiveness and all that kind of stuff flow, that's all a part of loving, right? Forgiving and all that, don't hold grudges and, you know, nothing in your heart, okay? And then it'll be a good thing for you, because then you'll get a greater revelation of that. All right, where did I stop in here? I do that all the time. Okay, verse 12. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God is abiding in us. What that word means, he's continually abiding, and his love is perfected. By this we know that we abide in him because he's given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. Familiar verses again. We do this all the time. We have come to know and we believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, right? So if you're abiding in God, you're abiding in love. If you're abiding in love, you're abiding in God. In other words, you got it. You're doing the whole abiding thing, right? Because to abide in God is to abide in his love. And by this, love is perfected with us. Again, grows, matures. So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Again, you've heard me teach on this before. That word is accusation. You can have confidence in the day of accusation, because when the enemy comes to accuse you, you know, you can stand in the love of God, not listen to it. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Okay? As he is, so also are we. And this whole chapter is devoted to God is love. So as who he is, that's who we are in this world. Loving through us. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Again, fear involves torment, right? If you ever given in to fear or you have a problem with fear, it torments you, doesn't it? And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So you see, get all these little side benefits of this, right? If it's growing in you, it's pushing fear out of you, right? And pushing judgment and all that kind of accusation. We love because he first loved us. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Right? This is the commandment that we have from him. The one who says, who loves God, should also be loving his brother. You know? And we'll end with that. So I pray for us and for you, as we are excelling, and the word we've been having here at Christ the King, of course, is just God is moving us, excelling us along, right? This is part of the process, right? That our love will deepen for each other and be expressed for each other, starting in our homes again, okay? Because after hearing all this, you can now, right? Not that you cannot, it's that we will not, right? And just ask God to do it. He'll do it. Amen? It's part of abiding in him. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.